This is Ricey. You've been hearing my friend Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk, for years on the radio and Garage Logic podcast. With the new year approaching, I strongly recommend you sit down with Josh for your no-cost, no-obligation, 48-minute consultation on your investments, including your IRA and 401k. You can benefit from Josh's years of experience navigating different market and economic conditions, and he'll always give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Give Josh a call now at 952-925-5608 to book your no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation. That's 952-925-5608. You'll be glad that you did, and tell him Ricey sent you. Don't forget to ask, why is it 48 minutes, Josh?
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Ricey is a paid endorser.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
When did you get the correct earphones?
They were laying here.
Oh.
There's no,
I think those are rookies, aren't they?
There's no little... You're metal to ear, but that's okay.
All right.
But let's do this. First of all,
you have something on your mind.
Yes, I do, because this is, Jeff Goodman tweeted this out here. Just a second. NC State, 19 days. March 12th beat Louisville.
Right.
March 13th. Any one of these ends them. Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Because they were 10th in the conference.
Okay.
So they got to win their own tournament, else they're not going. March 12th, beat Louisville, what stinks. March 13th, beat Syracuse, mediocre. March 14th, beat Duke. Now we're getting into the big boys. March 15th, beat Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
March 16th, beat North Carolina to win the ACC tournament. North Carolina still winds up as a number one seed. March 20, they ended up as an 11 seed, right?
Yes,
North Carolina.
I believe so.
So they're playing a 6 seed. March 21st, beat Texas Tech. March 23rd, now they get a break because Oakland had upset
Kentucky.
Right.
So they beat Oakland. March 29th, they beat your Marquette.
Yeah, I think they meet on Friday.
Marquette happened
to them.
Marquette was awful.
Yeah.
Couldn't make a shot.
Nope.
But then yesterday, as a service
to America,
to one of the greatest countries in the world, one of the 5, 6, 7 best countries in the world, they beat the Pukes, and they beat them bad.
They beat them bad. Now, how can you not root for them?
I don't know.
Oh, you have to.
The big, fat, sweaty guy.
Yeah. Who might be one of the greatest passers I've ever seen.
Oh, God, he's unbelievable.
He's a great passer.
You look at him and you say, okay, he was the bully on the playground who always beat the other guys up, never threw at anybody, and he's the greatest.
Yep.
Takes two steps to the basket and then hits somebody for a layup.
Yep.
He's unbelievable.
Because correct me if I'm wrong.
But the poor guy, by the way, he's exhausted.
Oh,
by
yeah.
Like 3 trips down the court, he sweats pouring off and he plays 33 minutes and he's smiling the whole time.
Yeah.
It's the same path, though, that Valvano and the boys had in 83, correct?
But they had guys kind of, we heard, they had some players.
Oh, yeah, Wittenberg was hurt.
Well, then they had excuses. And the ACC was a 8-team league then. They had to win. To win the ACC tournament, they had to win 3 games, not 5.
True.
And back, you know, to back.
But they beat Jordan and North Carolina in that tournament, because I just remember the 30 for 30 on them. But it's kind of the same path that team
is.
Had.
And I was at that Final Four, and the fact that they...
Was that the Final Four where Reagan got shot?
No, that was the when Knight won in Philadelphia.
Yep.
That was, they were in Philadelphia. So that was 83, right?
83. Yep.
And that was in Albuquerque in the pit. And you had Houston playing Louisville, I believe, in the semis. And then North Carolina State beat who?
I can look it up. I
can't remember who they beat the first day. But Houston looked absolutely invincible, and they beat them. But That Houston team you watched this weekend, and that Houston team you watched in 1983 came from different planets.
NC State beat the Georgia Bulldogs
in the
Final Four.
Furman Bisher was there for perhaps his first ever college basketball game. He was the columnist down there, and he was covering Georgia basketball. And I was sitting next to him, and Furman went, you know, how come they don't have shoulder pads on or baseball, you know, or wear bats or something?
Was it akin to Joe asking, why didn't they put Rodney back in the game?
Mm-hmm. Oh, why didn't they put Oliva back?
Oliva.
Furman was okay, but
Pat, let me get one thing out of the way.
Yeah,
I love the tournament; it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling Reavers,
end of the games,
between the timeouts, between the officials having to run over to the scores table,
who tipped the ball out of
bounds, and between the extended television timeouts, unless it's about a 3-point game, they're very easy to not watch.
Oh God, yes, I can't do it.
It's just incredible.
The one, you know, I have attempted to cure college basketball. Mm-hmm. Take the tenths off the clock.
That ain't going to do it.
That'd help. That'd help.
That might help.
Because they're always, okay, we just found an extra
put another two tenths back on.
4.2, it's 4.3. Stop it. Stop it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go over there and look. But all these jackasses want us to focus on them while they're sitting there and they're, you know.
It's got a tough decision.
Now,
looking at a screen the size of this telephone, too.
Do they go to the table only in the final 2 minutes?
For tenths of a second, I believe. But you sit there and watch the whole damn game for the last 2 minutes. That's right. Why you're watching it.
That's right.
And that takes 25 minutes. I told you the other day, I said to Mrs. Ricey, when she wanted to watch something, and I was watching it on the same TV, we're going to watch it together. I said, I got to watch the rest of this game. There's only 1:19 left. She says, that's 20. Even she never watches. She says, that's 20 minutes.
Easily. And you know what it is.
And then you know what else drives me crazy? There's 8 seconds to go, 7 seconds to go. They call a timeout. We got to go to a commercial break with 7 seconds to go. Let us stay here for the seventh. Right. You know,
unless it's a close game, it's very easy to not watch it.
NBA is just as bad.
Yep.
NBA.
And you know what it is? All of these officials, they see the path of the Gene Serratores of the world because they all want the studio job.
Guy's going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why they want to be smarter than everybody else in the room.
That was another great, terrible invention. When Pereira or whatever, you know, he was really the first guy that the NFL used, and now everybody else has to have one of those guys too, because that makes TV even more important if they have one of those guys. The TV loves this because it makes them important. Tipped it out of bounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh God, you're right. They ruined the game. They used to put it in a 2-hour time slot and that would work.
Right.
Now 2:20.
It's got to be 2:30.
There was a great video of a bitter Tennessee fan showing what's the big lug from Purdue?
Eddie.
About 15 seconds.
Let me ask you about him, by the way.
At the end of the first half, he basically got a guy in a Baron von Raschke headlock, threw him out of the way, and scored.
And he didn't get a foul.
No, he shot the free throw.
Yes.
Is he good?
Going into this year, they didn't even think he was going to be a first-rounder in the NBA, but maybe he will be.
Mm-hmm. He's cumbersome.
He's gotten better, though. His footwork's okay, and he can use his left hand and right hand, but he's huge, you know. He's allowed to push you, but you aren't allowed to push him back. Now he gets the NBA, he's not going to get that favor by officiating.
No.
Yeah.
He will not.
But, I thought for sure they were going to lose. But when he gets these other guys making some threes, then they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they're okay. So they there were times this year they stunk. Northwestern beat them,
but they are not going to beat UConn.
Wouldn't it be fun to see an NC State Duke? Duke's gone. I was going to say they never.
NC State UConn.
NC State, UConn.
UConn beat them by 20.
I think so, too.
UConn's good. What did they do to Illinois?
I don't know.
I didn't see the game because I was at the
Wild game. I was listening to it on the radio on my drive, and the announcers were stunned. Illinois got no answer for these guys.
I got in the elevator at the Wild game afterwards, and there's about 2 minutes left, and the guys on the radio were saying, "This is incredible." And it was like 30.
Yeah, wouldn't it be something if the Wild missed the playoffs by 1 point?
Yeah, they gave up that point Saturday. It's kind of fun, but I don't really understand the complete logic of it because you're saying I'm not good enough to win the shootout. Is that what you're saying?
No, you want the 2 points.
Yeah, but if you win the shootout, you get 2 points.
That's true.
If you go
that's
to
true.
Overtime,
that's
you
true.
Get 2 points.
Yeah.
But I did not know when he did it first. The first time he did it, that you sacrificed the point, but if you didn't have to sacrifice the point, everybody'd be doing it all the time, yeah. Pulling the goalie. So it's, it makes sense. But here's what I want to wonder, though. I think I couldn't find an answer. I looked on the internet and did a search. If you pull your goalie in overtime, and neither team scores.
Mm-hmm.
And have you already sacrificed that point?
So I believe it's only if you lose.
No, you have not.
In the shootout, you get the point back? No, what I'm saying is if you get it to the shootout, do you get the point back?
Yeah. Yeah.
You think
that only makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Because it's
then why go to the shootout?
No, I know what you're asking, Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
If you
wouldn't have to have the shootout.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't need it.
That's right.
Because it's if you lose in the event of overtime by pulling your goalie. It's if you
That's
lose.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, yes.
But if you pull your goalie in overtime and 0-0.
You don't lose the point.
You go to the shootout.
Correct.
You still haven't. You have not
you
lost
know that
the point.
For sure?
I heard this being discussed after he did it the first time against, who'd they beat?
Nashville.
Boldy scored.
It's only if you lose the game in overtime when you pull the goalie.
And they have to. That's a hell of a shot they got beat by, by the way. Ooh, that guy's good.
Yep.
Glad he doesn't play here because I couldn't spell
his
name.
Who's their star that got the spearing penalty?
Hartman?
Eichel.
Didn't spear him. It was a very modest spear.
Yeah, it wasn't a spear either, but once they called it, they stuck with it.
But the commie played it well, too.
They don't like Eichel anybody because he's a goofball. He had bad rumors about his personal behavior in Buffalo, right?
Yes.
And he's a hell of a player, though. Oof. And you not having him when you're playing 3-on-3, he's the most likely guy to go down and score.
Was he bad behavior, but was he late for practice, stuff like that?
I think it might have been a little more severe than missing practice, supposedly.
He had a bad reputation.
Allegedly. Who knows? It's nice that we find something out about a hockey player enough to know that. I was thinking about this. I was writing about the thing the other day on the Snuggerud and Pitlick players. Both their dads were on the 89 team when Randy Scarter hit the post.
Mm-hmm.
Dink. But I was looking back, and the stuff we got out of players then, you just go in and now they bring two guys to a podium.
Yeah.
And there's a coach standing there, and they don't say anything. Back then, you got in the locker room and you got great stuff. And later I talked to Scarta, like on an anniversary or something. 2002, when I was here again, I called up Scarta and got a hold of him or talked to him. But 2002, they won it here. That ended the streak because they pulled the goalie, tied Maine, and then won. And then Paul Tony scored the goal in overtime. And they won it. That ended a 23-year streak without winning it. But before that tournament, I called Scarta, and he got some little time in the NHL. But he was just a great character. I think he got into real estate business, but I'm not sure. But he said, I got a little time. He said, the Blues had me up for 30 games. They scratched me 29.
Oof.
He said, I'd sit up, and I was supposed to be up. This is like middle 1990s, you know. Mm-hmm. This is how sophisticated they were then. He said, I was supposed to keep track of the checks.
Really?
You know, keep track of our checks up in the press box. He said, I'd drink a couple of Bud Lights and give my buddies two or three times more checks than they actually delivered. That was, you know, that's what, that was hockey back then, the sophistication of statistics.
You know? I don't know.
What? Some guy, hey, if you're up there sitting doing nothing, keep track of who got the checks.
Oh, so, that's amazing.
But I mean, you had guys like that, you knew all of them. You know, I didn't even cover that much hockey, but Snuggy and all those guys, you knew all those guys. Now it's, you know, once in a while you see a good quote, but not too often.
Your Twins didn't fare well yesterday.
Oh, was he throwing slop?
That was straight batting practice is what that
crap. Were you watching?
I was listening to it on my drive back.
Well, it was a great moment in Valley Sports North history.
Oh, what did we come up with?
The Obers start. Mm-hmm. First start of the season. Bailey's out there. And as he's throwing to the first batter, the first batter. See, Provis hasn't been on long enough. He's an agitator, but he hasn't been on TV long enough to, you know, like if it was Gladdy or something, he would have agitated. So he's not ready to start agitating. I think he will be.
He's got to make new friends.
I think he
in
will.
In the TV world.
But Morney, who God love him, is always looking for the positive. But he says, Ober, I think he's one of the most underrated starters in the American League. I think he's one of the most, you know. 12 minutes later, he hasn't gotten out, and there's people scoring, people coming. Like, we never go back to addressing that, because I was saying today that a month from now, Provis would say, he's still standing by that, he's still standing by that assessment.
And people don't realize it could have been worse.
Oh, God.
Julian made that great play to rob the one Kansas City guy of a hit, or it would have been a lot worse.
He was just throwing slopping right in the middle of the plate. I don't know. He's got to get ahead in the count and then throw that high fastball, and he doesn't throw that hard, but it was awful. Man, it was awful. And he wore him out, though. The Royals, like, he left 10 runs. They only got one more, right? They only got one more.
He wore him out.
He didn't. Did he make it through the first? Did he?
Oh, yeah, because he came back in the second and gave up six.
Now, Joe, this, of course, caused me to be very nostalgic because 1974, my first year at the Beat, which is a mere 50 years ago.
Right.
Happy anniversary.
Man, 50 years ago. We opened in Kansas City, our boys.
Mm-hmm.
And on not a lot of optimism going into that season, but on NAA, the Royals have Brett and Amos and the whole crew, and they just keep, they have that big, it was all turf then,
mm-hmm.
and they'd hit the ball in the gaps and it'd bounce around and they'd run around the bases. And I don't know if Willie Wilson was there yet, he might not have been. But, on Friday night, the opener, Twins win 6-4. It's 4-4 into the ninth, and Sergio Ferrer, of all people, is on second base, and Amos catches a ball out in center field and slips on the warning track, and Sergio Ferrer tags up and scores from second.
Wow.
Make it 5-4, and then they win 6-4. The next day, Billy Hands, making his first Twin start. He's already established himself as a drinking buddy of mine that I could see after games. I saw him in the bar in Orlando about three times. Great guy. Loved his brewskis or cocktails. He gets four outs and gives up.
Was this the 22-0
game? He gets two outs. No, he gets two outs and gives up seven. 23-6. 23-6. That was the second game of the year. Then the Twins get rained out on Sunday, so they go home with a split. having won 6-4 and lost 23-6. It was. It was like. It was a track meet. It was like, woo, woo,
who was the guy that complained that only nine of the runs?
That's when we went back.
Oh.
We went back in August, and it was 17-2, I think, or 17-3. So the two straight games there against those guys, they gave up 40. But it was 17. And Vic, the same guy I borrowed $10 to go see Deep Throat.
Yeah.
You know, down there, when we were in Kansas City, Vic Albury, who just passed away.
I thought it was in New York.
No.
Kansas City. All right.
No, it was New York. It was Kansas City that I gave him the $10. But they were staying at the Meal Box for some reason, sit out in the country. But anyway, but Vic, it's the Twins have decided they're just going to, you know, throw it down the tubes. And they leave poor Vic in for like three innings, and he gives up 10. And he calls the press box to complain only 9 should be earned. Because what I knew, the scorekeepers were Del Black and Sid Boardman, I think. And they weren't colorful writers, great guys, but they used to call them Del Black and Sid Boardman, you know, because they wrote about the game and not a lot of color. But one of them came down to me and said, Albury just called me to complain that one of those runs should have been unmerged. I said, anyway, yeah, that was 23-6. Oh. That was quite a lesson.
The weather's going to break for these boys coming home.
Saturday, for Thursday, is going to be good. Saturday and Sunday might be a little rain.
Let me look.
Chicago's trying to play, Cubs are trying to play their opener today, and I think it's supposed to rain, isn't it?
50 degrees Thursday, 51 Friday, 56 Saturday.
Oh, good. Is it raining?
Boy, they've changed this forecast 100 times because Sunday, 52, was supposed to be in the 60s.
Mm. Is it raining?
No.
Okay.
You know how we had the, speaking of Chicago, Joe, remember years ago one of the brilliant ideas we had was the Metzometer?
Yeah.
For the Twins to chase the
yes.
I think the White Sox might give that a run for the money this year.
Well, they're kind of
they
on purpose.
Are dreadful.
You know, and you put that team together about a month after you go to the legislature and say, I want $1 billion for a new stadium.
For a new stadium.
I don't think that was
in
good
that state,
idea.
Good luck.
Yeah.
That state
and the Bears are trying to do the same thing, too, aren't they?
Well, the Bears will get what they want.
True.
But the Bears have agreed to tear down Soldier Field and not go out to Arlington. They
oh, that's
to
right.
Keep
they're switching.
Chicago,
yeah, they're switching.
And anyway.
We do need the pause, Patrick, before
we... Not yet, though. I gotta build up to the pause.
Okay.
We got other topics.
What, do you got to think about the ad, or what?
We got other topics.
You got Caitlin and Angel tonight.
Tonight, yes.
They don't like each other.
No, and I don't know if Caitlin's got enough help to beat him.
Yeah.
Kim, how about Kim attacking the Washington Post before she ever saw the story, which was pretty much a puff.
Is she setting up the loss?
No, it's already ran.
It did. Okay.
It wasn't that bad. It said that they criticized her for expressing no sympathy for Brittany Garner being in a Russian prison. You know, but that was, you know, because she didn't like Brittany because she was... She liked Brittany because she won her national championship, but she didn't like Brittany's... sexual politics.
I see.
She's odd looking woman.
Oh, she's crazy.
Yeah.
And I discovered that 20 years ago when she was playing the Gophers. She was nuts.
How long has she been there?
Well, she went, she was at, who was she? Where was she before Baylor? Or maybe Baylor. She was at Baylor.
Who's the grandma that coaches Iowa?
Oh, Lisa Bluter.
Yeah.
Lisa, she coached Drake before she coached there. She's been in Iowa forever. She's okay.
Yeah.
She's a character, and her next superstar is probably going to be Madden Greenway.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I suppose because Dad was a Hawkeye.
And Mom was a track star or something, too.
Now, could there be some rough stuff tonight in this game?
Oh, yeah.
Angel will knock you down, won't she?
Yeah, she's the one that were taunting her after the game.
But you know the biggest...
But Iowa is not near... They aren't as good as they were.
No, they're not. And I think LSU will handle them. But there's controversy now around Caitlin because she has an offer in front of her to join Ice Cube's Big Three League.
for $5 million.
$3 for $5 million. What's Ice Cube's league? I'm unaware.
It's 3-on-3, but they've got a TV deal with somebody. I forget.
But can't you play in that and still play in the WNBA?
That's the contract. Are they going to allow her?
Offset or not?
I don't know. I don't know that. But there was.
I don't know what type of seat.
Because from a monetary standpoint, she'd be an idiot not to take the $5 million.
She's going to go to the WNBA. She wants to be a serious athlete. Okay. I think she is.
Well, somebody's going to pay her in the WNBA.
They can only pay so much. But she's going to take all those other deals. She's going to take all those deals with her.
But from a salary standpoint, it's what, $80,000 a year, I think?
To get her into the WNBA, though, somebody like Nike, or is she a Nike, or is she a
Reebok? I can't remember who she's
got. Somebody's going to give her $10 million or something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She's going to get some money.
Yeah, the WNBA salary is not part of it. She's got to have more money, and she knows what to do.
I've been loving the Glenn Taylor, Alex Rodriguez controversy. It is a hell of a story. I don't trust Alex Rodriguez as far as I can throw him.
Well, one of the things that came up, and I got to admit that I spent 3 hours with Glenn and never got a hint this was going to happen, you know, that he was. But one thing we've discovered, thanks to the New York Post, God love them.
Yeah.
Because they basically used their J-Lo A-Rod reporters to get on this, because they basically had two people that covered J-Lo and A-Rod when they were. They're still the last dedicated newspaper, you know, to this kind of stuff. And they revealed that Lori, because we all kept saying, well, what? Lori's got all this money. Well, they were going to be 50-50 partners for their, which I think is 70%, because Glenn's keeping 20, was keeping 20, and then there's these other guys, maybe a little over 70%. But Lori put up his money, and A-Rod was the guy out looking for money, was the guy out going to the Carlisle and stuff to get his half of the 72% or whatever it was. And A-Rod, but according to, I don't think it was the Post, I think it was this guy, David Sampson, who appears on the Levitard show all the time, used to be the president of the Miami, and is not considered a good guy.
Sure.
But his whole life is sports business, and he tried to deal with A-Rod when A-Rod thought he was going to buy the Marlins when he was still with J-Lo. But he said that, as A-Rod was out looking for the money, he was trying to have the people make their investment as though it was a $2 billion purchase. Mm-hmm. So if he was going to give you 8% of his 36%, you know, if you're going to buy that, you're going to do it on the basis of $2 billion instead of 1.5, so whatever percentage that is. So he was trying to charge them a premium to get the money, then when you get the money. So anyway, A-Rod was trying to make money off.
Well, what the hell are A-Rod and Lori going to do? Immediately go to Vegas?
No. They're not going to. If you want to go to Vegas, you're going to have to pay a $2 billion expansion fee. Yeah,
the owners are not going to allow a relocation.
But Lori, and Glenn told me this, and Lori pretty much admits it. I shouldn't title him. Mr. Taylor tells me.
He owns your newspaper. Yeah, watch it.
Yeah, but he said, Lori told him that he was working, has told him since, you know, he was working 24/7 on his other deals, because he hasn't been around much, you know, at the Timberwolves games. A-Rod's been their presence, but, you know, Lori now comes out, and A-Rod wasn't at last night's game. Glenn and his wife were there, but I'm wondering if the NBA got on the phone, too. They couldn't have been happy about Lori and A-Rod making the rounds, making this
right
into
as
an
public
open feud as it was. And
Taylor's a hard guy to paint as the bad guy.
Yeah, he's.
Don't you think?
He's made a lot of people mad, though. And Kevin Garnett, although, you know, Kevin was. I always said, Kevin, he paid Kevin almost $300 million. So,
So if I'm hearing you correctly, Pat, is this Lori in some way trying to get rid of A-Rod in this deal?
I don't know, but...
Because he's obviously got the money.
Yeah, he's Lori. Got the money.
And A-Rod can't find the money.
A-Rod can't find the money.
Well, we talked about this last week. The morning I went to visit Taylor...
This was down in Florida.
Florida. I went to Taylor's house. He came out when he was done. We were sitting there with his wife, who was a very nice person. And Glenn comes out of a meeting. It was a Zoom call with Lori trying to get Glenn... As an investor, I presume, in Wonder. Mm. And I don't think he was seeking a small investment either. I said it wasn't like send me $10,000 or something like that. But he was trying to get Taylor to be one of his investors. So the relationship then was still good enough. But, yeah, I don't think that going as public as they did was. But they certainly won the PR battle because— You know, as highly successful as the tweet Reavers and I composed about Kirk Cousins, that was a highly successful. That was the most successful tweet of my career. No. 202,000 impressions, whatever the hell those are, on Twitter. Yes. 200. That's a big number.
And you know it's good, ladies and gentlemen, when you're hearing him 5 feet away from you going, as he's composing the tweet.
But my other one, when they beat Denver this week, when they beat Denver, and then I said, blah, 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 Wolves win one for Glenn Taylor. Right. You know?
I missed that.
And, oh, God, you never has my fatness and my sexual preference been...
So was it challenge? Was it challenge?
As much as it was that. Some guy called me, I'll say it, a fat bastard.
Yeah.
Of course, my response was, well, I'm adopted, so you might be right on both counts.
Why do you even respond?
Oh, because he loves it.
To get him stirred up again.
Oh, God.
Joe, it's, you know, when something like this happens... You're in the backyard with a campfire. You got to add another log. You can't just let it burn.
Yeah, you got to let them go.
Put another log on the fire.
But then they, you know, but the fact that everyone's siding with A-Rod, for God's sake.
I don't get that. I just don't get that.
Greatest liar in the history of baseball. God,
is this just because of the Wolves' dysfunction over the last?
I think that's a lot of it.
Is that what it is?
He likes celebrity, and A-Rod's around glad-mouthing people, and I mean glad-handing people, and I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens here. I mean, there's no doubt Glenn was probably looking for a way out, considering how cheap he was selling it, right?
Well, because he'll be able to sell it in a couple of years for twice the amount, right?
Yeah, or, you know, supposedly. Now, the big thing is they're going to, whether it's him or these, he'll wait longer to say we need a new, I mean, he's 82, so he'll wait longer to say we need a new arena, but, you know. So we got the Wild over here. They want all this money for the stadium.
Yep.
And then we got the Vikings, who say we need $280 million in improvements over 10 years in a stadium that was opened in 2015, I think. And I don't know where you get any money for this.
I don't either.
This thing down there. You can, you know, they could tear down the garbage. They're going to tear down that garbage burner.
Yeah.
And that'll create a lot of room, but I don't know. Whoever owns the team is going to have to start off by throwing $500 million in the
pot. But Glenn has already said that he thinks the target center is fine.
For now. I mean, he said he'd like to see some improvements but for now. But it's not. It is the oldest arena in the NBA.
Is that right?
It's hard to believe.
Oldest in the NBA. But somehow, I don't know. And the other thing is, I was looking back at some stuff Sid wrote, and you know the Wild will be moving over to Minneapolis any day now. Nobody from the west suburbs will ever drive to the game, so we've proved that, haven't we?
Yeah.
I was there Saturday, and those little brats were fighting to get in again, man. It was jam-packed.
19,000.
I know. It was unbelievable. Let's go Wild.
19,000, they're not even any good.
I know.
They're struggling.
Yes. But
Let me say one thing, and then we'll take our pause. They got something going for the future here. Because they have the best first line in the history of the franchise. Would you not agree?
Yeah.
Ek is great. Kaprizov is their greatest star ever. And Boldy is a sniping, goal-scoring son of a gun.
Yep.
Then they got the Rossi kid coming
up on the
second line.
He's fast.
So they got something going. Missed the playoffs. Do well in the lottery. Get yourself one more star forward. And also, these last eight games, why don't they call up the goalie from Des Moines and find out if he can play or not, that kid? We don't have to watch anymore Gus the Bus.
No.
You know, what do we care here? So, anyway, that's my theory. Meanwhile.
Yes, sir.
Pause. Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM Dealers, GMC Product. Well, guess what? Valley has their best inventory in years right now. All the Buick and GMC models, even the previously hard-to-find Yukons, heavy-duty pickups. It's got to be the Sierras, right? And, Joe, you can get one of these, too, a Hummer EV.
They need a Hummer.
EV. Yeah. An EV Hummer? I wonder how far you can... Anyway, there's plenty of deep discounts with factory rebates and low-interest financing. I've been telling you about that. 0.9%, 1.9%. Jim Paul would like to see some of the previous customers who waited out COVID come on back and make a heck of a deal to buy a new or used vehicle out there. Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM Dealers in Apple Valley and Hastings. You can also check out the inventory at valleycardealers.com. This is car buying without the bad aftertaste. That's what Jim tells us, and Reavers and I can both tell you that's
right.
True.
So, Joe, I found something, because I know you guys are both against the City Connect jerseys and everything that goes along with it, but I found one that I know Patrick will fully endorse. We went to the Diamondbacks game on Tuesday at Chase Field. All right. So
Chase Field is the big field.
Correct. No, they're playing the Guardians.
The Dome.
In an exhibition. The roof was open.
Good. Very rare.
And in the pro shop, because the boys had to get a hat.
Are we on the air right now?
We are on the air right now. So the boys had to get a hat. So we got to go pick out. The boys each get to pick out a hat. And there
What's a hat, gosh? 28?
$49.
What?
For one hat?
For a hat. Because, of course, you got to get the one that they're wearing on the field.
Well, there went a hun right there.
I got to tell you, people, one reason that you're not all, that the people aren't flocking to baseball games is once you get them in the door, you screw them.
Yeah, it was,
you know, let's,
wow.
Let me go get a hat for $22 or $28. 15.
I agree.
And eight.
And she needed a shirt, so that was another $30 that I had to buy a shirt.
She needed a shirt.
She needed a shirt.
Okay.
But there I saw the Arizona Diamondbacks City Connect jersey with the word serpent right across the front.
Serpentine.
Sorry,
I think
yes.
It was the Mexican. They speak Mexican.
Pat,
down there.
Right. If I had the $200, I was buying you one of those jerseys.
Yeah, pretty spiffy.
$200?
Yeah, if authentic.
Who do I want? Who am I watching the other day with the 18 different color jerseys?
Was it the Padres?
I don't know.
They got the weird looking one.
No, that was terrible. Terrible. I don't know. What's ours look like? Do we know yet?
We have the, isn't that the Twin Cities?
No.
That's not City Connect?
We were going to break one out.
Oh, I guess I haven't seen it yet.
What is the Timberwolves City Connect?
That's the one with the different colors on it that some have.
Anything to sell more jerseys. How can you, as a young parent, a middle-aged parent with kids, young, how can you afford it?
I got news for you.
Who are the 19,000 people at the Wild game?
I don't know.
They're paying that for hats.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Snuggie's dad the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He played in '89, played in the NHL for, you know, 4 or 5 years, 200 games or something. But I said, that kid shoots the puck a lot harder than you do. He says, he's got a $300 rocket launcher. He said, I had a log.
Yeah.
You know, I was hitting the puck with an old log.
$300.
How do people? How do people afford that? Because they, you know, and then they decide about halfway through the year that even if it doesn't break, it's lost.
It's snap.
Snap. It doesn't, you know. What? How can you do
that? And I got news for you. Baseball equipment's getting there, too.
Oh, the bat.
The bats, the cleats, the bags, the batting gloves, and I think... Play It Again Sports, here we come.
Yeah.
Because you're going to outgrow all your stuff.
That's where you should go.
Oh, I love Play It Again Sports, in all honesty. It's saved a lot of people like me a lot of money.
The granddaughter, and I think a couple years ago, got this softball, the big high-priced softball bat, the goods. Now she's giving up softball.
What?
She's giving up softball.
To pursue her hockey dreams in the summer?
To pursue her hockey dreams, I think, in the summer, yes. Yeah. And I don't know if she... I can't get mad at her because she did stop playing soccer, so I appreciate
it. Was a good trade for you.
Never had to go to any of those games.
Those were tough, man.
At least I could go to... And softball, youth softball isn't quite as bad as youth baseball because they got people who can lob the ball over the plate and then they swing at it, you know, even though it's fast pitch, but it's not really... But anyway, what are we doing here?
I don't know.
What are we doing
here? The equipment prices is just, it's insane. Mm-hmm. It really is.
It is.
You know what we do this day in history? This was submitted by loyal listener Greg.
Yeah.
That sports talk should have its own this day in history.
Okay.
And I'm bringing this up because I'm wondering if you guys remember this because I believe you were both covering baseball around this time. 19, I just had it here. I don't have the year on it, but I thought you guys would remember this. Chicago Cubs catcher Leo Hartnett breaks the altitude record for a catch by gloving a baseball dropped from the Goodyear blimp 800 feet over Los Angeles.
I don't recall that.
It was Leo Hartnett. It was Gabby Hartnett.
Oh.
What'd you say, Hartnett?
Well, this was Chicago Cubs catcher Leo Hartnett.
Yeah, but I bet it was Gabby.
Okay.
But that would have been in the 30s.
Well, that was a long time ago. I don't have a year on this. Okay.
We're not that old.
Gabby Hartnett is the guy I asked Mark who that was.
Yes, you were. And that's what he said. He's ours and we ain't crazy.
No, that's no. No. He said that about Gary Lieberman.
Leo or what? Lieberman. Your boss.
Gary Lieberman.
Leo Gabby Hartnett did that. He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who's Gabby Hartnett? Yeah. I missed that. I wasn't there for that moment.
Who the hell is Gabby Hartnett? And he looked at me like, what?
That was like telling him who's George Washington.
Right.
You know? that was like Gene was mortified that he had a guy covering ball.
Yeah, but he didn't say he's ours and we're not trading.
No, he loved you.
I know, but he said that about Lieberman.
Lieberman, yes. That's when he stepped on
he
the
got up
cards.
And broke up a card game in the airplane. He tripped over everybody and stuff flying around.
It was on the team bus.
Yep.
They were going to Milwaukee.
Yep.
And they let us ride with them. And Gary's big, tall guy, clomping in there, playing cards on a blanket in the middle of the aisle. And Gary steps right in the middle of it and spins the cards and the money and everything all over. And he's ours, and we ain't trading him.
That might have been the same day when they lost, and you know how Gene would be fuming.
Oh, yeah, when he knew, but best place ever to Milwaukee was to fume.
And you know, no one wanted to speak first.
No.
Because Gene was just ready to detonate.
Do the circle.
And so Lipman finally says, Gene, does the bus leave from gate D or C? And it was so bad that Mark couldn't even be angry.
No. But Milwaukee, what made Milwaukee great was it was the only place that didn't have a manager's office.
Yeah.
So he was just down there in the corner. It's County Stadium. So, you know, when he was here or most places, he could fume.
He could fume privately.
He could fume in his office. But here, he'd do laps.
Right.
Do laps. And, of course, there were the famous times that it wasn't. I think Mike Torres was the pitcher he dumped the soup over.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he would turn over
in Montreal.
Food table.
He did. He took it out on food very often.
He didn't like food. He just
the famous story, I was there that day, is he's doing the laps around the locker room. Just... He'd always did the hair and the red and anger and the food table would just sit in the middle because nobody go to the food table. All of a sudden, he's walking around, and he sees out of a flash of his eyes that somebody's going in, and it's Carew, so he goes back in his office.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. If it had been Rick Sofield, we would have had...
What city was it in Arizona where he made you stand outside of the screen door?
No, it was Palm Springs.
Oh, it was Palm Springs.
Rancho Mirage.
Rancho Mirage.
I think he was a Rancho Mirage. Yeah. God, I loved him. I loved him.
You got a cold? You better stand out here.
God almighty. He was
great. Made sure he's about 15 feet away.
Yep.
I used to ask him, well, why are you taking so many vitamins? He says, they work if you think they do.
That is, he never gave you a quote without thinking about it, which made him great, you know.
No, and that's
and
what
Smalley picked that up from him. Smalley would think too.
Yep.
And Molitor was the greatest at thinking beforehand.
But that confused a lot of people who thought he was just being a dick.
Yeah,
you know, and he once you got in the rhythm,
you had to learn. I've asked the question.
Now I'm going to wait,
not to get nervous if he hadn't answered it in 15, 20 seconds.
Because
when he came out, it was fantastic.
It's fine for newspaper, but a radio that might be problematic. Yeah. Then
Didn't bother anybody.
Sid that he didn't care.
Okay. Sid didn't care.
Five greatest mock quotes. When Sid was trying to get him downstairs. The phone was ringing in the dugout for 20 minutes, and I'm sitting there next to him. And I said, finally, about the third time, I said, you gonna answer that? He said, how would you like to wake up every morning and know one thing you had to do that day was talk to Sid Hartman?
He was the best.
Oh, God.
Just the best.
Only every bleeping pitch. Yeah. I waited a minute for that answer.
Yeah.
When I said, what do you remember about 64?
Yep.
That's when they blew the pennant.
Yep. Silence.
Silence.
Silence. Silence.
Cigarette in the grass, smunched after about 50 seconds. Only every bleeping pitch.
And he did,
and he
to
talked
everyone.
For 20 minutes. He was the greatest.
That's right.
Anyway, it would have been nice to hear what he thought about Bailey Oberlin.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he would have had a few cocktails after that one.
Oh,
all right.